I want you to first, before you introduce yourself, identify the people that are not going to be on the microphone. So that way, if in the, they decide to, like, you say something that pisses them off so much in the middle of the interview that, you know, at least we'll know who it is. So who's not on the microphone right now?
Not on the mic currently is Kix, Josh, and Amy.
Small hands.
And what do they do in relation to the band?
Kix plays bass, Josh plays drums, Amy sings and beats a tambourine.
Would the three lovely people behind the microphone identify yourselves, please?
I'm Priscilla, and I play tambourines, and I'm a backup singer.
I'm Zach, and I play guitar.
I'm Stevie Nicks, and I play guitar and sing. We're the Cute Leppers.
You are. And so now I'm hearing two people that play tambourine, so this is a very tambourine-y band.
There's actually a third, but she can't make it today because she had to go to work in Seattle. But three backup singers who play tambourine. Kix and I were in a band called The Briefs that was active for close to 10 years, I think. And that sort of ran its course, and we started this new band, The Cute Leppers, and recorded most of the music and started bringing in more people to join the band. And everybody's from the Seattle music scene, the underground music scene there. And that's pretty much, it's pretty cut and dry as far as Kix and I are concerned. But we grabbed Zach, who was playing guitar in a band called The Girls, and Josh on drums. He played in a band called The Spits. And so it's kind of an all-star band, really. We love old punk rock, and we're all record collector geeks with The Briefs. And nobody was playing the kind of punk rock that we all like to listen to, like the old stuff like 999 and the Vibrators and the Buzzcocks and that kind of thing. Kind of the trend in Seattle was wearing all black and having black hair, and we're like the Murder City Devils and stuff. And we figured, well, let's just be like anti all that. So we all bleached our hair and played sort of fun, spastic 77 style punk rock.
Now, you, am I correct? Because you formed this band how long ago?
A year?
Yeah, it was like, you called me in March of last year.
I guess it was a year and a half.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the Briefs were still going at that time. And, but people were getting geared up to move away. The drummer from The Briefs, Chris, he moved to Berlin. Guitarist Dan moved to Oakland. And I was ready to pursue something else. So, yeah, a year and a half ago about this started up.
So this is quite the trajectory, because I'm holding something here that's on Blackheart Records.
Yeah.
And, you know, Blackheart Records is not exactly like signing to, you know, Ignatz Records. It's a real label.
Right.
I believe that there, what's the name of that chick that's responsible for this label? What's her name again?
Joan Jett.
Oh, yeah, her. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I seem to remember her.
Well, she's got a bad reputation.
Yeah, you thank know. You for that. All right. Well, that's that. You know, there's that moment
wow.
in the interview.
She does love rock and roll.
Wow. Do you see this symbol? Do you know what that symbol is?
The gong?
That ain't the roller coaster. That's the going downhill fast. That's not the I'm cool.
I made the record and, you know, like borrowed money to make the record. Made the record, then started shopping it to labels. And first I went to the UK because I'd rather have a UK European label for over there, which I'm very happy that I did that. So a label called Damaged Goods in the UK handles the album for Europe. And that's a great label. They do all of Billy Childish's catalog, the Buzzcocks and all that. And then in the U.S., you know, just sent the CD out to lots of labels, got some response, and Blackheart really, really, really loved the songs.
The U.K. has taken to this pretty damn fast, haven't they?
I think so.
What did you want this band to be? Because you were in a band for 10 years, you said it was a punk band, but obviously this is a very different band with different thinking behind it. And again, I haven't seen you live yet, I've only heard this. But this is not a punk record.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's punk power pop is what the Cute Leppers are. I mean, for me, punk is sort of like the attitude behind the song, you know, in the way that you stick out amongst everything else. I mean, I want the door to be open for, like, branching off in different directions. Definitely power pop, you know, and for, like, 60s girl groups and stuff like that. And with the Briefs, you know, we had a lot of poppy songs too, but there's it was definitely based in like fast three chord punk rock.
So what exactly was in your brain, first of all, naming the band? What names did you go through that were the ones that didn't stick?
The Drowned Rats.
The Drowned Rats.
That's the name I always wanted to use for a band, but...
but it was taken?
No, but thinking this is more of a power pop band than punk. So
the Cute. You said, oh, we better be cute.
I got Cute from the La Peste song, You're Too Cute.
Right. And you just said, well, I'm on sure. La Peste. I might as well just go with Leper.
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 And it's, I mean,
I can hear it now in Paris. And that was Le Cute Le Pez.
Le Père Le Pew.
Almost everyone I knew hated the name and said, don't call your band that. That's terrible.
What, the Cute Lepers?
Yeah.
And so you just stood firm and said, damn it, we'll make it stick?
Yep. Kix liked it all along.
I think it's hilarious.
You're stuck now.
It is kind of a bad name, though.
He's referred to you a couple of times, so cuddle up to his microphone. You're stuck now.
Oops. I don't know. I like the name Cute Lepers. I was always cool with it. Like, I stood by Steve with it.
Have any lepers come up to you just yet and said, you know, we're not all cute?
No, I'm sure they're not all cute. We are. But if you look in the Oxford Dictionary, leper also means social outcast.
I know.
Which we all feel from time to time.
But England isn't, since you did England first and now you're starting to do America, the thing that everybody talks about is the audiences over there versus American audiences.
Oh, it was standing for sure. And like, you know, a little bit of movement, dancing.
A little bit of movement.
A little bit of movement.
There was some really standout, really great shows too, where people, you know, good audiences, full rooms.
Singing along.
First time over there.
The album was now co-produced by somebody, right?
Johnny Sangster,
right,
and myself. He's a producer in Seattle and also a musician, and he did the last couple of Briefs albums, and I love working with him.
So you had this record, you recorded. Did you bring him in afterwards to mix it, or did he sit there with you and affect the sound?
It was more like we used 5 different studios. Did the drums at one studio and the basic tracks, then did all the guitars in my basement. I've got a little studio in the basement. Did the vocals at his studio. Did piano at yet another studio. And then mixed at another studio.
Was that to get good rates? Or was that
because it's to get good rates.
What's everybody's history and job before doing this? And what day job is everybody still working to support rock and roll?
I work at Rudy's Barbershop. It's a rock and roll barbershop chain.
Do you cut?
I sweep up hair.
Okay.
She's getting promoted for that one.
I sweep up hair, but it's a great place to work, and they let me tour as much as I want to, and it's amazing.
There you go.
Well, I don't really have a job, but I work on and off a little bit doing some landscaping.
Got it.
I got a weird situation on my hands that I can't really talk about.
Okay.
So. I bartended at Mixed a couple bars here and there in Seattle and Los Angeles, and as well as special tasks on Aurora Avenue for $5 a pop.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, HJ's.
Where is Aurora Avenue?
It's in Seattle.
Okay, was that in the? Is that up on the top of the hill in the cool section of town where the indie theater is? And the
No, it's
not,
it's where I mean, where fun stuff happens.
The motels with hourly rates.
Yes.
I produce bands in my basement, and I check IDs at a bar a couple nights a week.
So truly, truly, you are hoping that this is going to make it big, and this will provide.
Yeah,
would be the goal.
Sure.
Sure.
Well, no, I mean, there are bands that do have a grand master plan. So tell me a little bit. I mean, you signed to Blackheart. What are they as a label, other than getting it in the hands and paying a good promo firm to get it into hands of people like me, what are they doing for you?
I mean, the record industry or CD industry or whatever is in a really tight spot these days. So it's not like the old days where you can just like harass the label and try to get as much money out of them as you can. You got to be pretty selective in what you ask for. But I think that if we run into trouble, like with the van breaking down or things like that, that they'll come through for us. And then as far as like doing label stuff, they're pretty good. They have a radio person, a publicist. They mail things to you.
Yes, right? They do.
And they come to our shows.
They come to our shows. The whole entire office comes to our shows in New York.
So on a scale of 1 to 10 of being taken seriously with Stevie Nicks, Stevie Kicks, Zach Actually, Josh Blisters, you know, you want it to be fun, but you also do want your music to be taken. This is a rhetorical question, but you do, you know, it's fun music. It is power pop, but you do want people to understand it's great songwriting and that, you know, you do know how to play your instruments and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think number one is make our mark, you know, on popular music.
Okay, kids, the last thing we do is a thing called a musical sandwich. We take two songs by the Cute Leppers as the bread, and then we put other songs in between.
It's Summertime Baby and Cool City.
There you go.